I want to read some scriptures, as you always will. They're simple to understand, and I want us to comprehend this tonight. I do want you, saints, as I read these scriptures, verses, and chapters, write them down, and you go back home and you study them, that your understanding may be clear. Yahweh wants that. He doesn't want us to be unfruitful, but He wants that. I want to start in Hebrew chapter 10, verse 7. And also there's a reference verse of that same scripture in Psalms 40, verse 7. Hebrews 10 and 7. And Psalms 40 and 7. I want to read Hebrew 10. It says, "Then said I," this is Messiah talking, "the words which the prophecy came forth, as David uttered by the Spirit," in Psalms 40 and verse 7. "And by the same revelation, Sheol spoke the same words of faith for confidence and hope of those that Yahweh had called and elected according to His preordination. He said, 'Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do the will of Yahweh, the Father.'" This is the prophecy of Messiah. And the volume of the book, for us, it includes the entire book. And at that point, He was speaking in reference to the Old Testament. But we understand that He came in the volume, because we understand that the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old. It brings the spiritual revelation of what things Yahweh inquired of His people, that we can do it without reading certain laws and mandates, because He has put that in our hearts and in the inward part. And so Messiah came in the volume of this book, and everything in His written of Him, it is about Him, for He is our hope. And so Yahweh, calling and choosing a people, He sent this purchased Redeemer to give us hope and assurance. Now, we can never come to the Father or to Messiah unless the Father draws us to Him. It's not by any deeds or actions we have done, even though how vile they were. That was not the reason. And I will show us in Scripture. It says in John chapter 6, verse 64 and 65. Now I'm going to read so you all can write these down, and write them down in the sequential order, as I call them off, and you can go back and search the scriptures. I simply want to lay a foundation of the assurance, or Yahweh's choosing, of what He has predestinated for His people. Messiah says in Johannes chapter 6, verse 64, He said, "But there are some of you that believe not. For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray Him." He did not say who He was, but who they were that believe not. But He also knew the one that would betray Him. And so to let them know whatever you are doing, not by your choice or choosing, He says this in verse 65. And He said, "Therefore say I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." So it must be the choosing and the will of the Father for any man to come to the knowledge and the strength of who Messiah is. So He said that it is not your choosing, or what deeds you have done, or any act of faith truly, It is because the Father has given that unto you to come unto me. Now the scripture gives us a tremendous example of that, saints. And I want to read that. I want to read that to show you before I express unto us the choosing of Yahweh, how He does things. It has nothing to do with who we are or what we have done. Listen to this. Romans chapter 9, Romans 9, verse 11. It says this, Romans 9:11. It says, for the children being not yet born, or before the twins were ever born, they were never born. It says, neither, you see that? Neither having done any good or evil. He doesn't justify us on that, or choose us according to that. Neither one of them had sinned. Neither one had done any evil or any righteousness. He said, in the order or that the purpose now of Yahweh according now, His purpose is according to election might stand or endure, continue, not of works, but of Him that calleth. So He said there were two that were not yet born. And yet Yahweh, to show His election, to show you how He elects, for His purpose, how He chooseth, He allowed two to be unborn. Neither one of them had ever sinned. Neither one was better than the other, but it's simply the choosing of the Father. He said, and it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob, Jacob, have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, neither one of them had sinned. Neither one had committed any travesty or transgression against Yahweh. We must understand that His election is not according to what things we were caught up in or the sins that were besieging us. He simply had elected us from the beginning, and He drew us unto Him. It was His calling, because He is the one that calleth. Now, if you search and look at Romans 10 that many use, you must understand what Saul was, who he was talking to and what he was saying. I've searched the scriptures and looked over and them over and over, and the more you read it, you will see a clear picture. You must understand he was dealing with a people whereby he was trying to express to them what the Jews, they thought that by the works of faith, rejecting this law of the Spirit that came through Messiah, that they could find some redemption or some place to show Yahweh how good they were. And he was letting them know, no, if you just confess that Messiah is the Son and believe that, you will be saved, because He intends to save you. And He will deliver you if you truly do that. Now, I know how we've been taught that traditionally. But I will show you even what Messiah said. There's a place we must start in Scripture to understand Him. And I'll show you in Scripture, all right? Verse 14. It says this. Now, listen. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? Well, He forbids. For He saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He said, I will show my love or my pity to whom I will. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He said, whomever I choose to have compassion and to show them grace, it is my choosing. That is why there were two yet unborn. One, Esau and Jacob, he said, I'm going to choose the younger one, and the older one is going to serve him. Verse 16, so then, it is not of him that willeth. It doesn't depend on one's will or what one's desire, nor on him that runneth, but of Yahweh that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Verse 18. Therefore, Yahweh has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. He maketh one stubborn or unyielding. So he shows mercy on those that he wants to. He hardens the heart of those. Now that's just his choosing. He does that to show us the power of his choosing or his preordaining or predestination of man. It's not by any works or any deeds. It's not even according to our faith, saints. It truly isn't. Because you can't even believe on him. How can we believe on him whom we've never really heard preach to us? And we truly had not heard him preach to us. Now I want us to understand that, all right? He says in verse 19, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou to replies or criticize Yahweh? Shall the thing, listen now, shall the thing form say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Why have you made me for this purpose? Why are you doing this to me? Have not the part of power over the clay, or the same lump to make one vessel unto honor? See, that's what he does. He makes one vessel unto honor, and then he makes another vessel on to dishonor. What if Yahweh willing to show his wrath? Now this is the reason why. Listen closely. To make his power known, endured with long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted, or he has prepared vessels for destruction. For what purpose? He hath prepared those for destruction for this purpose in verse 23 and verse 24. That he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore now, before time, prepared unto glory. So those that are prepared unto glory, it was afore time or before time. So he has actually raised up vessels to show his wrath upon, that those that he will show mercy on, they will have assurance of this election. What do we say, that he is unfair when he does that? Can we say to the one that formed us, you're wrong? Can we say to the potter, you have no power to shape me into whatever image you want me to? That is just Yahweh's sovereign election. It was not anything we had done. We were not neither good or evil. He just chose those that he chose before the foundation of the earth. It was not by some way we found him because we all were in sin and we felt bad. That wasn't it, saints. He just chose you, and that day that he intended to reveal himself to you, to show you you were a filthy sinner, he simply did it that way. And so he said, Jacob or Esau, neither one of them were better than the other. They were unborn. Neither were any better than the other. And yet he chose Jacob. He just chose him over Esau and said, you're going to serve him. Well, he did that to show the power of his election. What he said to man, you're not going to tell me who to choose. You're not going to tell me who to elect. I will elect whom I will, and it may not be favorable to you, but these are the ones that I will elect. I will do it before I create anything, before the earth is ever formed, before they're ever formed in their mother's womb. He said, these are the ones that are mine. And I will take these as I will raise up Pharaoh and show my wrath on them so that those that are chosen of me can understand my mercies, my compassion, and my love toward them. It may sound strange and unfitting, but that's just him. He has done what he has done. And if that's the case, if he would save everyone that has gone on, And there are people that are dying, millions, without any knowledge of Him, never heard of this mighty one that is able to deliver. He doesn't intend for them to hear of this mighty power. He has no purpose to save them. He has chosen those that He has preordained before the foundations of the earth, that when His wrath is poured out, that we may have assurance in His mercy, His grace, and His compassion. He says this in verse 24. Even us, whom He hath called, not to the Jews only, but also to the Gentiles. So those that He has called, there's a cross-section of people, that it goes across every ethnicity and every race, every color. Has nothing to do with the man just being a Jew. What are you saying? That these, my elect, it has nothing to do with their natural birth or anything at all. I've simply chosen them. From every nation, every tongue, every people, He has a remnant of people. If we truly look at things, saints, that when He destroyed the first world, He only saved 8 people. He knew what He was doing. And the only reason that Sodom and Gomorrah could not be destroyed was because He had to get Lot out of that place. And even then, when the Moloch or the angel told Lot to go into the high place, Lot wanted to dwell in a city that was near. And so he said, I can't do anything until you are out of this city. So he made his wrath known upon Sodom and Gomorrah and all the surrounding plains, that his mercy and his compassion may be shown upon Lot. It was not that those in the city were any worse than him, because he, first of all, he was truly out of the will of Yahweh. Because Abraham should not even had any activities or dealing with Lot, because Yahweh told Abraham what to do. And because of that, Lot found himself in a situation that he ought not to have been in, like we find ourselves in situations we should not be in. And so, Jacob and Esau, neither one of them ever sinning. Do you understand? Neither one of them had sinned. Esau's sins were no worse than Jacob, because first of all, Yahweh just chose Jacob before he was ever formed in the womb. He said, this one my mercy will be upon, and my compassion and my salvation, and this one, I'm not going to deal with him. I'm going to cast him out. I don't want him. I want simply that one. And it may seem strange how he does things, but he is able to do that because he has formed us all. He has made us all. He has shaped us all, saints. And it's not just to the Jew, but to the Gentile as well. Those that are not under that covenant. Yet we are in the covenant because we are the seed of Yahweh now. Because we have been birthed. We have been begotten by His Spirit. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 29. Listen to this. He did know Jacob and Esau, did not he? That's what he said. There were two twins, yet they were unborn. He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau, he said, I've hated. And I've looked at other translations of Scripture, and they both, in that text, it is read the same. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. It's translated the same, because he loved Jacob, and he hated Esau. Both of them unborn, but he chose one. He says in Romans 8, verse 29, it says this now, for whom, or Yahweh, he did foreknow. Now to foreknow someone, it is a knowledge of that one beforehand. So he foreknow us, or foreknew us. For those for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, and that is to determine before time. So he determined this before the world was ever made. He did predestinate it to be conformed to the image of his Son. and that he might be the first begotten among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover now, whom he did predestinate. So Yahweh did predestinate. He did determine. And if you look that up, you will find out what it means. I will read you the definition. It is to predetermine, decide beforehand, determine beforehand, ordain, foreordain to earthly or eternal lot of destiny by decree. So it was ordained. It was his established vow that those that he foreknew, he had predestinated them, and he also called. And whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so he called us, he called men everywhere to repent, but he knows that they're not going to do that. So he has called an election or a remnant of people that he has chosen beforehand that he may ordain in them that the glory of his Son may be in them. And so our salvation comes through the preordination of Yahweh because salvation belongeth unto him. Have you really searched the scriptures from New Testament through, you will see the plan of salvation of Yahweh. It's more in the Old Testament than it is in the New. It really is. That's all David talks about was the salvation of Yahweh. David and Isaiah. And even the Psalm salvation or the plan of salvation is talked about more there than in the entire New Testament. The word salvation, it really is. And it all has to do with him. I'll show you that because it's in scripture, right? Now I want to read this entire chapter, Luke 24. I want to take my time, but I want you to hear it. And there'll be certain points I will stop to emphasize. You read this again. Take your time. Go home and read it, saints. Please do this. Read this. This is what it says in Luke chapter 24. I want to begin in verse 1. Listen. It says, now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And when they got there, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of Yeshua. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were very much perplexed, they were in doubt, they were wondering thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, in apparel that was so glorious, in such a glorious fashion. And as they were afraid, they became afraid when they saw them, and they bowed down their faces to the earth. But they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why do you seek Messiah in the place of death? He told you where to go. Why do you seek him? He is not here, but is risen. He said, remember how he spake unto you when ye was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now when their pure minds were stirred up by way of remembrance, it says, and they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre, and they told all these things unto the 11 now, the apostles, and to all of the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Yochanan and Miriam, the mother of Jacob, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now the apostles were his elect. He had called them. And we find ourselves just like them. Look what it says here. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, like nonsense and folly. It had no meaning to them at all. And yet Messiah had chosen every last one of them. And he knew that one was a devil. He knew that the one would betray him. He was raised for that purpose, like Pharaoh was raised for that purpose, that he would get glory on his name upon Pharaoh. And so they listened to Miriam and to those that began to express this wonderful thing, what he had already told them, and they looked at them as though that they were fools, that they had no understanding. They said, these are idle tales, and they believe them not. They didn't even believe them. They did not even believe that he would resurrect. We can find ourselves in this picture, saints, because we don't believe him. So they didn't believe him. They thought it was a fairy tale. Then, verse 12, then arose Cephas, Peter, and he ran unto the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth laid by themselves. And he departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Messiah told him what would come to pass. So here this one says, although all men forsake you, they will turn, yet not I. He ran to the sepulchre, saw the linen cloth, and then he left wondering. Now, could it be or could not it be? And yet he was a chosen vessel of Yahweh to carry this truth into the house of Israel, that his life would be martyred for the Father. Verse 13, and behold, two of them, now listen to this closely, went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Verse 14, and they talked together all these things which had happened. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they talk or commune together and reason, it said Yeshua himself drew near and he began to walk with them. He drew right upon them and began to walk with them. Listen to this. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They could neither see him. They had no understanding that he was there. Because of their own communication, they were communing. They were just talking. They had that general conversation. How could these things be? What do you think took place? And yet here this hope is walking beside them. They cannot see him. They did not even know he was there. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as he walked? And ye are sad. And one of them, whose name is Cleophas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger here in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, this is what he said now, what things? And they said unto him concerning Yeshua of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and the word of Yahweh, and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to have him crucified. But we trust that It had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We trust that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of Moloch or angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But him they saw not. And this how he began to open up their understanding. First of all, he said, then said he unto them, he said, O fools, or unwise one, without understanding. He said, you are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. See, we're a generation that's slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He said, you don't believe what the prophets have spoken. So we don't believe what the prophets have spoken. Now look at this now, verse 26. He says, ought not Messiah, or was it not necessary for Messiah to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Now they didn't even realize what was taking place. He said, ought not these things have been done? He said, why haven't you believed the prophets and all that they have said? Now, when we got saved, they told us, go to the book of John and all this. But look at what he did. Look what Messiah did. Verse 27. And he began at Moses and all the prophets. And he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. So it was there, right there in the book. It was there in the law of Moses and the Psalms of David and all the prophets. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would go a little farther. I don't believe that's the best translation there. He pretended that he would go a little farther, but he said he would go a little farther. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and he tarried with them. And it came to pass, as he sat down to meet with them, he took bread and he blessed it and brake it and he gave it to them. Now we must, as he said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. It's every word, saints. It can't be just the New Testament. Every word exonerates him in his labor, his work, what he has done. Every word glorifies him as well. And when he gave them bread, when he gave them that bread, he said, then their eyes were open. And then only did they know him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures. That's what he did. He opened to them the scriptures, saints. And he started in Moses and Psalms and all the prophets. That this thing must be because they all prophesied and they wrote about it. It must be that Messiah must suffer first and then resurrected, that he may give hope unto all Israel. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, Yeshua is risen indeed. And hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way. And now he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Yeshua himself stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, as to suppose that they had seen a spirit. And their doubt, unbelief. And it says, and he says unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do doubt, a thought, doubt arise in your heart? Why you don't believe me? Why is it that you doubt me? He said, behold my hands, my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit have not flesh and bones, and ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believe not, for joy they still didn't. While they yet believe not, and they began to wonder, to question. He said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and he did eat it right in front of them, before them. He says in Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. He said this, saints, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. See, they must be fulfilled. And that's why David, even in the word of prophecy, he said, lo, behold, I come in the volume of the book. And the volume of the book is about him. It's not as much about Israel or you or I, it's about him, his saving grace, his power to reveal whom he is. And so he said, I want to tell you everything that Moses wrote, everything that David said in the prophets, it must be fulfilled. Because I've come in the volume of this big book, so it has to be done. And when he spoke that, then open he their understanding, that they may understand Scripture. Now that's what we need in this hour, saints. We need to understand Scripture. And so we must go back to the law of Moses and the Psalm and the prophets. We must, saints. We just can't forget those things, because those are the foundational truths. And the truth that Messiah came, he came to bear witness of those truths, to let us know that they are not lies. See, the law was weak because the flesh of man was incapable of doing what the law said. Yahweh did not give him anything that he was unable to do. And so everything that the law said of him, and everything that the prophets and the Psalms said of Messiah, he had to make sure that it was fulfilled. If he had not fulfilled that, then there would be no spiritual life for our sake, none whatsoever. If he didn't fulfill that, then he did not do the will of the Father. And he came to do the will of the Father and to finish it. And the will was that he fulfill those things whereby the priestlyhood, he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He had no beginning and no end, so he had to fulfill those things whereby the Levites could never fulfill. So he had to fulfill them and to show us that the words which Yahweh has spoken unto us and written, that they are words of truth, that we must live by every word that he has spoken unto us. So he could not just fulfill something that was not there, so he had to fulfill what was there. And by him fulfilling that, then it brought light to the Scriptures. As Saul and Peter and the brothers went forth, they could speak with a spiritual profoundness. Not like they did in the days of Moses or under the Old Covenant, but these men could speak with a renewed law because they had the spirit of the law of life of Messiah in them. They had that spirit of life in them. So it brought revelation to Scripture. It brought understanding to Scripture. So Messiah had to open their understanding to Scripture. And he's talking about the 12, the 11, those that had seen the miracles. They had gone out and healed. They had cast out demons. They had seen the mighty works. They had healed the sick. They had done all those things. And they had seen the mighty works of Yahweh. They had. He says in verse 46, then said he unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Messiah to suffer and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning here at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. He said, and behold, I send you the promise of my Father unto you. The promise of the Father is the Spirit. But tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heavens. And they worshipped him, and they returned unto Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the assembly, praising and blessing Yahweh. Hallelujah. So they, as he began to open their understanding, what he did, saints, he opened their understanding to Scripture. Wisdom is the principal thing, but in all I get it, we need to get understanding. And so he had to begin at Moses and all the prophets to open up their understanding. And once we began to understand that, then we can understand the purpose of Messiah, what he came to do. Yahweh chose a people that were the least of all people. He chose Israel out of a group of people that they had nothing. They were worthless. The Naval Corps wasn't even cut. It was just a worthless piece of people just to show his mercy. It was not that they had done anything any worse than any other nation, but it was just his choosing. And that's what he does. It's just his choosing. There's 10 in the family, yet he simply chooses one. There are 1,000 that he chose none. And yet that family chose 5. Do we say to him, it's not right to do it that way? We can't say that to him. We can't. And once he opened up our understanding to Scripture, we will see why he does things like that. But we must have our understanding of Scripture open up. And it has to be, saints. It must be. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, I want you to understand who this letter is to. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. So you will know who Saul is talking to. He's not talking to unbelievers, saints. I want to read what it says in verse 1. It said, Saul, an apostle of Yahshua, Messiah. He said, first of all, by the will of the Father, by the will of Yahweh, to the saints. See, that's who he's addressing this, to the saints now. To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Messiah, Yahshua. So he's addressing this unto saints. We are the saints of Yahweh. So this is addressed unto us. We that are saints. He said, grace be to you and peace from Yahweh our Father, and from Master, or from Yahshua Messiah. He says in verse 3, blessed be Yahweh the Father of our King Yahshua, the Messiah, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings of the heavens or heavenly places in Messiah. Verse 4, listen to this closely. According, that he has blessed us with those spiritual blessings accordingly, or according, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now you see, when he chose them, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He did not address this to a general populace. He says to the saints at Ephesus. You are the ones that he has chosen before the foundation of the world. He has chosen you in him. Before, or predestinated, or preordained, before you were thought of as Jacob and Esau, he had ordained that before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He says, having predestinated, preordained, or purposing in his own heart before anything was formed. Before Jacob or Esau was formed, he loved one and he hated the other. They were not even born. They were not even in the womb. And yet he loved one and he despised the other. He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Messiah, Yahshua, to himself. For what purpose? According to the good pleasure of his will. For we can ever understand that, or the righteous pleasure of his will, it has nothing to do with what pleases him. And it may not look as though that is a fair thing, but Yahweh knows what he's doing. It's according to the good pleasure of His will that He choose us and call us, He elect us and establish us, preordain us to be sons, to walk in this faith and knowledge of Messiah, that we will have a hope in the things that He is doing, that we can rest assured that what He is doing is a faithful work of His pleasure. And it's all a faithful work of His pleasure, saints. It's not that one of us were any better than anyone or we had anything to offer. That's not the case. That's not the case. Because by the law of Yahweh, then Esau was the elder, so Jacob should have served him. And yet he despised Esau from the beginning. He has raised him for a vessel of dishonor. And then he raised Jacob out of the same womb of the same seed, one of honor and one of dishonor. He didn't save Esau, and he sought it carefully, repentance with tears, and he still didn't save him. Do we say to him that made us, that's not right? I don't like what you've done, you're not fair. We can't say that. We can't say it, saints. He says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His love or His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, or He has made us honored in Him, that we should be one in Him truly. He says, verse 7, in whom we have redemption or pardon through His blood, and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His love or His grace. When we sin, He wants us to know we sin, we transgress, that My grace is sufficient. You have forgiveness of that. I want to show you how wonderful My grace is. I want to show you what I've done. It is not a mishap. I know what I'm doing. I made the world and I know how many I made, and I knew that You were mine. I call you, I elected you, I chose you. That's what an election is, you choose one. They had the Democratic primaries here in South Carolina yesterday, and so they chose the candidate that they thought would represent them. And so that's what Yahweh did. He said, we chose you. I want you to know it's not by any works or any righteous deeds that you've done. It's not about anything that you thought or that could help you or that you were going in a way that seemed right or wrong. He said, it wasn't that. I just chose you. And then I brought you to the knowledge of My Son. I led you there. It was not that our sin, because we were so sick of sin. It was that He was calling us and leading us, saints. And that's just it. He didn't leave that to chance for any of us. Because if He leave flesh alone, saints, it will corrupt His flesh. You leave flesh alone, it will just corrupt His head. You don't have to do nothing to flesh. You can take a bath today, and you don't even move. You sit there for a day or two. You will begin to smell. You will perspire. The flesh will stink. You will begin to sense the corruption of it. So flesh left alone will just corrupt itself, period. You don't have to do anything to corrupt flesh. It's just a corrupt thing. That was the fall of Adam because he brought that corruption in. And every flesh has that corruption. I don't care who you are. We have that corruption in us. And He knew that both of those, Jacob and Esau, had the same corruption. It was just He chose Jacob. They both went the same way, saints. Even Jacob lied and he connived at his mother. And yet He had chose Jacob. He just chose Jacob. They wanted the blessing upon him. And Yahweh had already done that. He had already purposed that the blessing would fall upon Jacob and not Esau. He intended he wanted the birth. He wanted Esau to come forth first and to be the firstborn, to have the birthright, to have the inheritance, and to show him it's not by the will. It's not by one that willeth or one that runneth. It's just by what I do. It's not the order of things, it's just what I choose to do. And that's what it's all about, saints. Do we ever understand it's just what He chooses to do? He says in verse 8, He said, wherein He hath abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, understanding. He has made us to understand things, saints. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things of Messiah, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Listen now, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. How? Being predestinated, preordained, according to the purpose of his will, of him who worketh all things, according to the counsel of his own will. See, it's not our will, saints. It's according to the counsel of his own will. And he was talking to the saints of Ephesus. He said, I have preordained these things for my good pleasure. Has nothing to do with your pleasure, what you think, how you feel. It has nothing, saints. Nothing. Nothing at all. In whom, verse 12, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Messiah. We believe this witness of hope that he granted unto us. In whom also ye also trusted, after that ye have heard the word of truth. Now he says to those saints, now after you have heard the word of truth, now you trust him even the more. There's a trust for him. This message of our salvation, in whom also after that ye believe what he says, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He said, which is the earnest. You know what earnest is, don't you? It's a deposit. Someone said, I give you an earnest. They say, well, you got to put up some earnest money to show me you mean business. So this is a deposit of our inheritance. Unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory, which is the earnest, that's the earnest money of our inheritance. Messiah is the earnest, he is the price that our inheritance is sure, saints. That's why he had to die like that. That's why he had to suffer the way he did, to show us that what Yahweh says, he has put up earnest money. You put up something to say that I'm going to do that. I put up earnest money, and if you don't fulfill your responsibility, you lose the money. So you put up earnest money. It's earnest. It's a deposit. You put that down so that when you go back, you can purchase a thing. So that's what he did with Messiah. He's the earnest money. He's the earnest purpose for us for the inheritance of Yahweh, because we are his inheritance. Has nothing to do who we are. What we've done, it's just that he has chosen, though that he has chosen. It has nothing to do with our looks, our abilities, nothing. It's just that he has chosen, and he elected some, and he hasn't done it with all the world, because there are too many folks dying, being lost. That's just the truth. He destroyed the entire world, saints. I think about those things. He destroyed everyone, except Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Just 8 of them. And he destroyed every last one of them. He would have saw the Gomorrah. If he could have found 10 in there, he would have saved the city and all the surrounding place. He couldn't even find 10. There are not many folks that truly are delivered saints. I was listening today to NPR. These two young men, one a Jewish young man, one a Catholic. They traveled the entire United States, and they wanted to find out about the faith in God. And they said, no one really, truly. This is what they said as far as tradition of faith. That's a pad. That's obsolete now. See, everyone has their faith. They have their gods. They have their understanding. It's not like what we've been taught and what we understand. That's the truth, saints. There are very few that are chosen of Yahweh. And those that are chosen should be a praise and glory unto him of his grace. Everyone is not chosen. Everyone is not his. I want to read a few more scriptures. Psalms 37:39. Psalms 37:39. It says this, but the salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Our salvation is of the Father, and he is our strength in the time of trouble. That's what he is, saints. The salvation of the righteous is from him. And no one else. It's not by any righteous works or deeds that we have done. not anything that we have done, but according to His mercy, His grace, He saved us. It's just according to His mercies, He saved us. Not by any works that we have done that we should boast. It's just by the mercies of Yahweh. I want to go back to Romans chapter 10, verse 11. I know we have been taught that, but we got to read things in text. We haven't done that. So that's why Messiah had to go from Moses, Psalms, and the prophets, and he had to open up their understanding to Scripture. And we will pick one thing out and think it means this, and it doesn't mean that. It truly doesn't, saints. He's not going to save everyone. You can't show me in Scripture where it says that. You can't even show me where there's a witness. When they went out, no man can even come unto the Son unless the Father draw them. No man. When Messiah said to Kephar, Peter, say, come, he dropped everything and he followed him. Because the Father had drawn Peter to that place that day for him to come and for him to be drawn. Simon, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, they were there to be drawn. He had brought them there. When you were walking down that road of Damascus that day, he had brought you to that road to say, come. And he had drawn you there, saints. I don't care if you're in a sin den, near death, or whatever. He had drawn you to that place. He had drawn you there. To show you it was nothing you had done or anything. It was just His grace that He had chosen you, ordained. He had adopted you to be a son. He had given you an inheritance by His grace. And that's how it came. So it wasn't nothing that we had done or anything. Nothing. So He gives us a perfect example. Two twins unborn, yet He loved one and He hated the other. Why? That His election may be revealed and the grace of God may be known. Grace of Yahweh may be known to us. So He wants us to know it's not by what people think or how we feel, those or that one. He said, just by my election, my choosing. It's not what we think or I believe that one should or those should. No. He says, by my election, by my choosing. And I'm going to do it this way. Are you going to say to me, I'm wrong? We can't say that to Him. Because He's not wrong. He's not wrong. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and the Greek. For the same sovereign master over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Now you got to understand what he was saying here. Now he was not just talking to a general public. He was talking to a house, a people. That he was trying to show them how they were justified. It was not by any labor that we were doing. It was not by any deeds we were doing. If you actually go back to the 8th chapter of Romans and began to read, you can begin to see a clear picture. He was not, this letter didn't go to a bunch of sinners. It went to the house of faith where the saints were gathered. He said, and those that were struggling, he said, now this is not just, there's no different. He said, not according to some kind of Judaizing or some kind of form or formality. He says, no different. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now who was he talking to? He was not talking to the world saved. He was talking to his people. He said, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Now saints, when he saved us, we were like the apostles. We really didn't believe. He said, how can they call on him whom they haven't believed? We were just wicked things. It was just the choosing of Yahweh. We were full of sin and we were wicked. And most of our belief came by the establishment of tradition. Our mamas and our daddies taking us to wherever we went to. And that's how it came. We really didn't know, saints. We really didn't know. He said, how can they call on whom they have not believed? He said, how should they believe in whom they have never heard? How can you really believe in him? You don't, come on. You've never really heard about him. You really don't know anything about him. I didn't know anything about him. And that's the truth. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the truth or the message of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the truth or the message. For Isaiah said, Yahweh, who have believed our report. He said, then so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. So for us to believe that we are the chosen, it's all in his hands, we must hear what he has said or what he has done. And so we must go back to Moshach, and we see the great deliverance of the house of Israel, a people of unbelief, a people serving all kinds of gods. And all of a sudden he speaks to them, he brings them out.
He brings about with a mighty work and a mighty hand that they will know without a shadow of a doubt it was not by anything that they had done. And the first thing they did when they went out there, they began to serve their God. They built a calf, and yet they were still his people. He had still brought them out, and when the Egyptian army came and sent and destroyed them, he destroyed every last one of them. Even though they were ill-reputed group of wicked folks, they were his chosen, his elect. He had called them. They had nothing. It was not by any righteousness that they had done. It was just that he was the salvation of that house. And he wanted them to know that. I'm going to save you. And he brought them out. He's going to save his people. He is. Only he can do that, saints. He's going to do it. He's going to save his people from their sins. Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The scripture says, but we are bound to give thanks always to Yahweh for you, brethren. Look what he says now. Beloved of the Master, because Yahweh hath from the beginning. He said he has from when? The beginning. 2 Thessalonians 2, 13. Look what he says. Saul says, but we are bound to give thanks always to the Father, Yahweh, for you. He calls them brethren. They were saved, saints. He said, beloved of the Master, of Messiah, really, you're beloved. Because Yahweh now, it wasn't, I know it says in there what Lord or God, all right, hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit, and the belief of the truth. And that's how we're chosen unto salvation, for that sanctification and the belief of the truth. Now when we first came to him, we didn't know what truth was. We didn't even understand truth. See, it was just him drawing us and bringing us forth. He said, whereunto he called you by our message or truth to the obtaining of the glory of Messiah. Therefore, brethren, now he says, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. He said, from the beginning, Yahweh has chosen you unto salvation. He has delivered you to save you. He has brought you something that was not even worth saving, but is by his choosing and his election. We must understand it's not by any works that we do, saints. It's not about the words we say to him. It's just by what he has already done. He is the sovereign one. And his works from the beginning were sealed. He has no beginning and end. Time has no frame. He doesn't frame things by time or our natural time. It has no power over him. And so before we were ever thought of, he said, James Affleck. Gene Roberts. He knew he was going to save us. He had elected us. That's what he had done, saints. If you can search the scriptures, you see it more clear as you search the scriptures. That's why he wants us to study and search the scriptures. That's why he said to the Jews, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And you are the ones that testify of me. You think you do. He said you really don't have it. So it's just by his choosing. I know that there were those that say, well, that's not so. No, he has chosen a house and a people like he did with Israel. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you will see he chose a people. He did not choose the Hivites and the Jebusites or the Philistines. He chose one house. And he has done the same thing today. He has chosen a house through the seed of Abraham, that we may be one in him through the Spirit. And that's what he has done. He's not going to change it. He's not going to change it at all, saints. What we need to do is understand what he's doing and understand him. And the way we're going to understand him, he must open up our understanding to scripture. And you can't start in Revelation. You can't start in Ephesians. We're going to have to go back and understand whom he is and how he works, saints. And as we come through this thing, we will see the very power with great understanding of Almighty Yahweh. That's why he started, Messiah started in Moses. And he started in the Psalms and the prophet. And he's found in all the scriptures concerning him. And all the scriptures concern him. For lo, I come in the volume of the book, for it is written of me. And this book is written of him. Not just the latter part, but the whole book is written of him. You can't take just the new or the old. You've got to take the whole book, for it is one book. It's not two different books, it's just one. And the volume of this book is about Him. It's all about Him, saints. Not part of it. It really is. And we've been taught that it isn't, but it is. And so we got to start from Moshe and the Psalms and the prophet that our understanding may be opened up. That's what He wants us to do. Because He knows in this hour we're going to need understanding. Understanding is the wellspring of life. We're going to need understanding in this hour above all things. We must understand what His will is and what purpose He has ordained for us. That we should be to the praise of His glory. That we should bless Him for the great works and the great things He has done. That's what it's all about, saints. May He bless your hearts tonight. Be encouraged. We're saved because He has just chosen you. We were all unborn, and yet He chose one and didn't choose the other. And that's it. He chose one and didn't choose the other. He chose one. And that's what He has done. So we can't say to the one that made us, how could you do that? Or why do you do that? Because He has done it. May He bless you all. Be encouraged tonight, saints. I am. Be prayerful. Pray for one another.